Can we pray? Because this ain't about me. As I say, Lord, this ain't about me, Jesus. This is all about you. All this relates to, Father God, is the call that you've put on my life. And Father, this is the story of an adventure we had together. But at the end of the day, Jesus, I want to give you the glory. And I want you to take all the praise for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Very interesting this morning. When I look at the call the Lord's put on my life to carry the cross, it's quite special. And that reading we had this morning, when he said, you must teach what is in accordance with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love and in endurance. Other than the older men, which is the bit I take umbrage with, the rest of it is quite important. And the first thing I want to encourage you is that whatever you've been through, however your life is, the experiences that you've had, God will use them. When we look at self-control, my background is repossessing cars, turning up and taking a car off of somebody. And you know, when you're doing that, the Lord was teaching me self-control, because you can be in quite confrontational situations. So that's really my background, and that's what the Lord has used to bring me to where I am today. And it started off with this book. I possibly mentioned it to you before. But when Arthur Blessett starts off on his walk with the cross, there's one bit that really struck me about this book, and it's called A Potential Setback. He said, I could hardly wait to get going on my cross-country walk with the cross, but before I could take my first step, I received some bad news about my health. Lying in a hospital bed in Glendale Adventist Medical Center, I heard the doctor's grim prognosis. Mr. Blessett, you need brain surgery immediately. You have an aneurysm in your brain, an abnormal dilation of the blood vessel wall, a blood vessel blown out like a balloon. This is seeping blood causing your problem. So it goes on. What if I don't have surgery, I asked. The blood vessels could burst at any time. If you just rest, don't get excited, don't preach, and don't lift heavy things, you may have from 6 months to 3 years to live. But the aneurysm must be repaired. There I was. On the one hand, the doctor said to operate. On the other hand, God said told me to carry the cross. Should I obey the doctor or the call of God? I asked the doctor for some time to consider my options, and I returned home. I prayed and prayed before coming to a conclusion that would shape the rest of my life. What had changed since Jesus called me to carry the cross? Only my circumstances were different. Right then I concluded I should not let circumstances alter the call of Jesus. The call of God is not conditional. I decided that I would rather die in the will of God than live outside of it. If I carried the cross, I would be at peace whether I lived or died. But if I stayed home, I knew I would rot inside from a mixture of doubt, fear and knowledge that I had refused the call of God. So, having read this book, I knew the Lord was calling me to carry the cross. What I didn't know at that time was where it was going to lead or what was going to happen. And to me, you know, telling people, oh yeah, God's called me to carry a cross, great. It's quite relaxing, really. But suddenly, it started to take on a life of its own, from doing a walk in Birmingham, where suddenly they're having a gift, a collection for me. It raises it up to a different level. The tour I've just been on is taking that level a step further. In the 2 weeks leading up to going out with the cross, I had sciatica. That's painful. But the Lord used that to sort Abby out with certain problems that she'd got. But also, in my heart, there was a determination that the sciatica wasn't going to stop me from doing what God had called me. So on the Thursday, a couple of weeks or so ago, I drove up to Coventry. And as you can see from this first picture, these are the guys that I met up there, some of them. Just stayed in there. The house is owned by the Jesus Army. Never come across it before. Still don't quite understand it. Because some of the people I'm talking to in the house, they're wearing a ring on their wedding finger. But they've taken a vow of celibacy before God. And that's a calling. I mean, I know Paul talks about it, but I'll let them get on with that one. But it was lovely seeing them there. And some of the guys you could see, they're Iranian Christians, you know, that know and love Jesus. It was quite a remarkable moment. I'm hoping this works. Nope. It's not my strong point. Ah, here we go. Lovely. Good. Okay, then. So this is walking through the streets of Coventry. The fellow there is a guy called Reza. And what was lovely, we probably walked about 6 miles. But during those 6 miles, I probably carried the cross of maybe about half a mile, if that. Because all these Iranian guys, they wanted to carry the cross. They're so in love with Jesus. And for them, carrying the cross was so exciting. And they're passing, it was like a rugby ball, the way they're passing the cross from one to another. I've never seen anything like it. But what the Lord told me during that time is that I'm going to be doing a walk from Brighton to Thurso with the cross. Probably Dunnet Head, actually, which is the furthest north. But I've got to assemble a team. It's going to be myself. Definitely want an Iranian there, an African Christian, an Indian Christian. And we're going to go through this land carrying the cross. I've estimated that if we can take 10 hours a day, or walk for an hour at a time, an average of 4 miles an hour, 40 miles a day, we should do it in reasonable time. But the message is going to be one faith, many races. Amen. And when the Lord was showing me that, I just thought, what an impact, what a message that will have. And all from seeing these guys carrying the cross. This is a guy called Andy who also joined us. Lovely man. But the thing I love about that picture is in the foreground you've got Holy Trinity Church in Coventry. And in the background was the old Coventry Cathedral. You know, I've never been to the city before, but it was just interesting just being there and seeing the reaction of the people. There's me and Lady Godiva. As you can see, I kept my top on. She had those off. It was a bit chilly that day. But again, it's the cross. It's just walking through the town centre carrying the cross of Jesus. Right, let's go back to that one then. There was a day in between, because from Coventry that evening I drove up to Manchester and I stayed with some friends up there. And I knew that God's calling me to take the cross, because the walking on these grounds, the cross there to bring healing where there's been incredible violence. And that evening I spoke to a police officer who goes to a church in Manchester, who knew the two police officers that were shot by that guy, Dale Cregan. Had a conversation with her. I knew where I had to go, because the walk was in a place called Hattersley in Greater Manchester. And it was only a small walk, but I walked down the street and I prayed outside the house where that incident took place. Because the cross is there to bring healing. You know, the cross is there to bring love. And the cross has got to go to places where there's been extreme violence. So it was a very small walk. But that evening, after that walk, I did get back in the car. Wrong way. And I drove up to Glasgow. Now, once I got to Glasgow, it was great, because I got there early. And with the friends I was staying with, we went out and visited Hampden Park, had a walk around the stadium, trying to get a feel for the place. Feel for the place, where I've got to be, what I've got to do, where I'm going to park my car, where I'm going to walk from. And it's a unique experience. As you can see, that was the day before the game. There'd been the semi-final that day, but then we were there. So, the following day, I left my friend's place and I drove to Hampden Park. This is Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago. Got to Hampden, parked the car up probably about 9:30, assembled the cross and started to walk. And I've never experienced anything like it. I've been to quite a few games over the years. And every game, or a lot of games I've been to, you can buy these half and half scarves. You know, so if Arsenal playing Tottenham, half a scarf would be Arsenal, half a scarf would be Tottenham, say. But this is different, completely different. As you can see, this is the guy just selling Celtic scarves. The thought of doing half and half scarves just doesn't even enter into the equation. With the other side of the ground being Rangers. And what happens at Hampden Park is, the end where I parked the car up, I was mingling with the Celtic supporters. They were great, very friendly, very welcoming of the cross. And I then walked past Hampden Park to the other end of the ground where there were the Rangers supporters carrying the cross, mingling. And as I walked through, so the police were pulling out their cordon at that time, getting everything set up because this particular fixture has got, shall we say, a reputation. And while I was talking with the Rangers supporters and just sharing, I met a guy from Thurso, Christian guy. I got talking and shared Jesus with him. And I was giving out people my testimony all the way around as well. And that was really an interesting conversation because I just shared Jesus with him. He was a Christian from a church in Thurso. And I told him that that was going to be my next port of call. And he'd sent me an email saying, you know, when you're up in the area, get in touch. So that was encouraging. And I did. I met him the following day, but that's the next walk. But what was interesting, what he told me was, we've had this conversation, and apparently there were some Rangers supporters that were getting a little bit funny about the cross being there, whereas the Celtic guys were very, very welcoming. But when me and this guy shook hands, and I carried on, it was like, you know, peace just settled. Left him. One of the stewards then saw me with the cross and wanted to escort me off the Hampden Park area. So I went with him. Then a police officer just pointed me in the right direction. At that point, I got stopped by a reporter from the Scottish Sun who wanted to do an article on me because apparently nobody had ever taken a cross to an Old Firm game before. So once the game had kicked off, I then met up with them and they did an article, which I'll cover in a minute, and to my photograph. But as I walked away, the police officer said, look, you know, you've got to move on because there's 10,000 Ranger supporters going to come down this street. So I walked away, crossed over the road. So as I'm going one way down the road, on the other side, there's all these Ranger supporters. And yeah, there was the odd creative chant from them, but that was quite interesting. Never once did I feel threatened. Never once did I feel bothered by it all. It was just great being there with the cross. Got my Scotland shirt with the Grace Walk on the back. And just being open to sharing Jesus with these people. Some amazing times. So I walked into the street and then I walked down back in towards the Celtic end along the road that I'd picked up on the previous evening. Got back to the Celtic end and again, just mingled with the fans. It was brilliant. They went in and suddenly the place is empty because the game had kicked off. I then had a phone call from the reporter from the Sun saying, look, my photographer's here. Where can we meet? We met up. And they took my picture and put me in the paper. Viv suggested, and she's kindly run off a few copies because I made a couple of papers up there. But this is the article in the Sun, so if you want to read it, you can do. But the main thing is, it's just talking about the walk. And just giving Jesus the glory. You know, as I said, they've quoted me, the guy put his phone up and part of what I said was Jesus is there to bring peace. You know, that's the whole message of the cross. And that's why I'm here. But yeah, you know, if you want to read the article anymore, you're more than welcome to. I felt at that moment in time that my visit to the football ground had finished and it was right to go back to the car because to be around afterwards, I would have only got in the way and I didn't feel that the police wanted that. What was interesting though, is up there, there's a thing called Featured Glasgow and it's where people can put photographs online. And guy took my photograph, put it online and you get some interesting feedback. And within that feedback, I've got to find it. I wanted to say something, but I felt there was nothing I could really say. And somewhere, Abby, here we go. So the guy put it on Featured Glasgow. And one of the comments was, Richard Champion, I don't have the required level of intellectual retardation for believing. See more. There we go. For believing in fairy stories. So, that's fine. But then Abby responded. Was I proud or was I proud? She says, Kevin Johnston, this is my dad. And although I'm not a Christian and don't understand it myself, you don't need to be rude about it. He isn't hurting anyone. So bore off with your comments. It's my daughter. When I read that, it was like, wow. So anyway, that was Glasgow. So we've got the Ranger scarves here. We now head up north. This was the furthest north on my walk. And this is a place called Scrabster, just outside Thurso in the north of Scotland. Fantastic. I've spoken to Heather Millard, who used to come to this church, and she sorted out the accommodation for me and everything. And I went to Scrabster. What a place. It's just beautiful up there, you know. When your next door neighbour's a quarter of a mile away. When you can just enjoy the beauty of the scenery. I mean, the drive north was just, wow, what a privilege. Carrying the cross in Scrabster, that was great. 60 mile an hour winds being blown everywhere. But that was the northernmost coastline on my trip. And after that, we went into the pub, had a cup of tea. And again, there's the Scottish sun on the bar. There's my picture with a cross in it. Because, you know, the newspaper just reached all these people. It's interesting because I've been praying that I'd get the opportunity to lead the teams out with a cross. And to the pitch end, it's like the Lord saying, why don't I want to get 50,000 people to have a bit of publicity when I can reach a million people with my paper? You know, I want the publicity and I want to spread it. So there we are, up in Scrabster. Fantastic. And then we come down to Inverness the following day. Drove down to Inverness, did a walk through the town, met some lovely Christian people. I've been in touch with them the week before. And again, just having terrific fellowship. This guy, a guy called Andrew Yeo, come joined me on the walk. And we just walked through the place, had some interesting comments, some interesting feedback, people that he knows as well. Saw him with a cross. He's by the River Ness. There's me, got a picture of me carrying it over the bridge. Right, let's go back then to that one. So that was Inverness. Great conversations, and again, I've got a further invite back there when I can. What was interesting too, speaking to Andrew a couple of days ago, they had friends visiting them, and one of the guys is a pilot for Logan Air, and they island hop around Scotland. And I got a feeling that Scotland's going to be playing quite a bit of a part within my future with the cross, and I think at some point I'm going to be island hopping too, taking the cross onto these different islands, you know, walking through, say, I don't know, the Isle of Lewis in the morning, and then out onto the Orkneys for the afternoon with the cross. How exciting, you know, just being out there, sharing Jesus with people. So that was interesting. It's just great. Another city, another town, more and more people looking at the cross. And again, as a result of being in Inverness, when we were walking back to our evening meal, reporter stopped us and ended up in the Inverness Courier as well. Another article, giving God the glory. They also did a follow-up article on me in Inverness Courier from last Tuesday, but we'll come on to that in a minute. And apparently another paper also that I got up there was called the Press and Journal, which is a Scotland-wide paper. Don't really understand it. So I've had the difficulty to a point of the one in Manchester. And then I come on to my next one, which is possibly the most difficult of all the experiences I had there. I had to go to Dunblane with a cross. Now, how you approach a situation, I don't know, but I just try and do my best. Went to the school where that guy shot the teacher and all them children, because the cross is there to bring healing, to bring the love of Christ. went into the school, parked the cross up, walked into the main entrance and was talking to a lady in the reception area. And apparently there's a Christian assembly going on. And I said to her, you know, do you mind if I hang about just to see the guy afterwards? And she said, well, it's going to go on for quite a bit. Why don't you visit Dunblane Cathedral? So I thought, that's a good idea. So she gave me the directions and off I went. And the picture there, as you can see, is me outside Dunblane Cathedral. I didn't even know Dunblane had a cathedral. It's such a small place. And inside the cathedral, is a tribute to the children and their teacher. It breaks my heart. But this is all in the cathedral. Tragedy of Dunblane. Because the cross is there to bring healing. And I thought that was quite something. That's the tribute in the cathedral to those appalling events back in 1996. So, having taken the photographs, I come outside the cathedral. As you can see, saw a street called the Cross. Put my cross down there. The cross. I thought that's quite cool, really. But that was at the point where things took an interesting but unexpected turn. The police turned up and arrested me. Apparently, I still don't know what I'm accused of doing, but it was something to do with breach of the peace and certain abusive language behaviour. I don't understand, because as calm as I am when I'm walking with the cross on the seafront in Brighton, was as calm as I was walking through the football, and as calm as I was in Inverness. And when I look at that self-control that we looked at in Titus, that's what the Lord's given me. You know, how I am here is how I am outside. I find it difficult to change. So I couldn't quite join the dots up. But then under Scottish law, apparently if two people make a corroborating statement, they have to arrest you. So again, you know, I didn't understand it. Because it seems it's a great law whereby if you don't like somebody, two of you can get together and stitch them up. Anyway, they arrested me. And they talked to me about leaving the cross in the cathedral. And I thought, well, I'm going to need to, I'll be leaving Dunblane tonight, don't really want to do that. So I said, well, look, you know, can I walk back to the car? They'd seen I'm not a threat. So there I am walking for over a mile back to the car, carrying the cross through the streets of Dunblane, witnessing to this police officer, witnessing to other people that were there en route. What a bizarre situation. But that was the picture, you know. And this young officer, they were just going on there and I'm just carrying the cross, sharing Jesus with him, giving him my testimony as well as other people. So we got back to the car. I dismantled the cross, got in the police car, and they gave me a lift to the police station. Or I believe it was Falkirk Custody Centre. And they put me in a cell. Now, the first thing that struck me, and I don't know whether this is me or whether this is God, but the thought crossed my mind that I'm going to fast for the whole time I'm here. So all I did was drink water, hot and cold water. And I asked for my book to read. And they gave me my book. With my cross bookmark. And the chapter is entitled The Roar of the Crowds, The Silence of the Jail Cell. That's the page I was on. So the clue really was that God's in this. Even I can pick up on that one. And so I knew I was in there. And within where I am, as I'm reading a book and I'm praying, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. What the devil means to harm me, God will use for my good. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. So I'm in there. I'm still calm, but I'm holding on to the promises of God that I've picked up over the years. I must admit, I did forgive the people that had complained and also repented in there, because I was a little bit concerned. Lord, have I done something to bring your gospel into disrepute? While I was in there, the police sergeant came in and was very apologetic at having to do his job because he could see it was all a bit wrong. I had another guy that came to take me away, do me fingerprints and me DNA and take me photograph. And again, he said it's all a misunderstanding. So people could see that. But again, when we look at this self-control, how I am here is how I was in the police station, is how I was with the police officers. There was never any aggro, aggression, whatever, never any nastiness. All I was doing was just sharing Jesus with him. And I'm also very aware, because I was wearing one of my T-shirts with the Grace Vault printed on the back, my attitude, whoever I'm dealing with, cannot in any way, shape or form change. I'm there to glorify God. So there I was. And the following day, they took me off to court. So we got to the court in Stirling and put me in a cell, and they said, you're not allowed to, but you've got to share. So I had to share this cell. And that lasted about 5 minutes because this guy came in. I started telling him about Jesus. So he got a bit upset, wanted me gone, and they changed my cell. And they gave me my book back. So it was great. So there I was reading my book. I think I managed to read it at least one and a half times while I was there. I decided I'd have a solicitor, and this guy was great. So I met him, gave him my side of things. He went and had a chat with the courts. 2-3 hours later, called me down again, had a chat to him. He said, the police are going to get you to sign an undertaking, but before you do that, speak to me. He said, because when you're in a situation in a police station, there's three things they can charge you, release you, or get you signing an undertaking to return. He said, I'm not entirely convinced that this is a police station. So the police officer came, bought the undertaking for me to sign, and I didn't sign it. I said, I'll have a chat with my solicitor. So I had a chat to him, and I said to him, I want it heard today, while I'm here. Because I'd also taken a decision that I was going to use the dock, whatever they call it, as a pulpit, and I was going to tell him about Jesus. A bit like when we come back from Calais last year, and the customs fella pulled us over because I wanted to search the car. And I said to Steph, I said, don't worry. I said, I'm going to tell this girl about Jesus. That's how I was going to be in the courtroom. I was going to treat it like a pulpit. But anyway, it didn't happen. They released me. As far as I'm aware, they're still looking into it. But everyone says they don't think it'll be taken any further, which is great. And as I come out, this time through the main entrance to the court, there's a reporter. I'd take him my picture, wanted to do a story on me. I can't believe how the word got around. It amazes me, but it's more publicity for Jesus. Although the thought has struck me these days that when I start to give people out my testimony, I'm going to have to start autographing it in because I'm famous. But he wanted to do a story, and I said to him, do you want to see the cross? He said, well, yeah. He said, how can I do that? I said, well, can you give me a lift back to Dunblane? Because otherwise he's going to be getting on a train. I didn't really know where I was or anything like that. So give me a lift back to Dunblane. Took the cross out of the car, assembled it, had a couple more photographs taken. He went off to where he was going. I put the cross back in the car and then went to see my friends in Glasgow. Because 26 hours in custody is a long time. It's boring. But you know, people when I put it on Facebook now, the guy telling me it's a blessing. Well, if you want to share the blessing at some point, be my guest. In fact, I tell you what, you can have it. It's not something I want to endure again. You know, yes, you read about the disciples in prison. You know, I know the Christians over the years have been in prison for their faith. So I've got an understanding now about what that's like, and it isn't very pleasant. So I went back to my friends in Glasgow, and it was just great having a Bolt Hole to go to. Spent the night there, and then the following day, oh, hang on, this is for sure. Forgetting these pictures. Here we go. The following day, I got in the car, 220 miles, down to a place called Chapel Hadlesay. I think that's probably how you pronounce it, in Yorkshire, where the gentleman in red is the Archbishop of York. What a lovely, lovely, lovely man. He's gentle, He's got wisdom coming out of every pore in his body. But such a lovely man. And what he's doing is he's in the middle of doing a walk around his diocese, a walk of prayer. There we are, Pilgrimage of Prayer, Witness and Blessing. So I got my bookmark and I've got this card. So I went to the primary school where he was there and had a cup of coffee. Because a lot of people talk about tea with a bishop, but I have coffee with the archbishop. It's a bit of one-upmanship, but it's great, isn't it? And there we are, out there on the roads of Yorkshire, with the cross, with the archbishop. What a blessing. And when we were there, he'd written some prayers, which he's put on the reverse of my bookmark, but we prayed this prayer. God of our pilgrimage, thank you for your friendship. Be the fire leading us. Be the star guiding us. Be the good shepherd calling us. May the Holy Spirit strengthen us for all that lies ahead. May your holy angels surrounding us watch, defend and protect us against all evil. Amen. We prayed that prayer. And at this point he said, you know, if you've got any questions. And the little girl asked him a question about a story of a hen chasing a dog. What an interesting story. He was in Uganda. And as he's driving with his driver, he saw a hen chasing a dog. Now, in fairness, it's not an everyday sight in the UK, and it's not an everyday sight in Uganda. And he got his driver to stop the car. And he asked God, what was this about? And in a nutshell, the Lord told him to turn back. So he turned back. And where he was going that afternoon, in Uganda, Amin's troops come through and murdered a whole load of people. And he could have been in that. But it was only the fact that he saw a hen chasing a dog that made him turn around and go back. Have you never seen it, innit? But that's what it's about, you know, and it's being open. What are you saying, Lord? What is it in this situation that you would share with me? So, went back to the school, disassembled the cross, put it back in the car, and then drove home. So that Friday I did 450 miles from Glasgow back home. And then last Saturday was the south coast. I did Scrabster, the northern coast of the UK with the cross. I then did Brighton. And when I saw that picture, you know, I just took the picture and thought no more about it. But it's just like Journey's End. There's the cross parked. Where next? Where are we going to go next, Lord? What have you got for me? One of the main lessons I also learned from the experience was not to pray and ask the Lord for accommodation. Because I did that on the Wednesday. I ended up in a prison cell. So in future, I think I'll stick to B&B. But all joking aside, what a privilege to be out there carrying the cross. What a privilege to be sharing Jesus with people. What an amazing God we've got that can get himself so much publicity that more or less a whole nation is talking about Jesus. That is my calling, to carry the cross. And at times I've got to carry the cross into difficult places. But the good news, as I say, that's my calling. And what the Lord has used from my past in repossessing cars and giving me the gift of self-control, he's used throughout this walk and on. The good news is the Lord has also got a call for your life. He's got plans for you. And he ain't that bothered how old you are. And he ain't really that bothered about what you've been through. He just wants you to be willing to go out there and do what he wants you to do for him. Because within that calling, you are plan A. You can get a plan B there if you refuse. But Arthur Blessett could have refused and let the aneurysm stop him from doing the walk. But 38,102 miles, 38 years, on one mission later, the aneurysm didn't stop him. He trusted God. Do you want to know that call that God's got for you? That plan? Are you willing to pay the price? Because, you know, let's be fair, when I never, ever in a million years expected I'd have to spend a night in a cell. But clearly that's a price that I had to pay on this particular trip. But are you willing to pay a price, whatever? Because it's one thing reading my story on Facebook and saying, wow, what a blessing. But it's entirely another thing going through the experience or experiences that the Lord has got for you.